Okay, here we are. Yeah, it's not a very well organized talk because there are too many topics split up between different speakers, and I will come back from time to time, especially in the future session. Okay, I think it's okay, that's fine. So I'm talking a little bit about meeting room-based teleconferencing, namely video conferencing, what has been done and achieved by video conferencing for managers. Then I will talk a little bit about office-based, namely desktop stations. And I see this a little bit different from you. I think it's not to be left over to the individual institutes, because then we get Babylon once again. So there are some simple solutions we all use, and that's what I mean. Probably it's the same.
No, what then, I mean, point to point.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, no. Correct. Multi-point as well. Then there's a upcoming ask demand for meeting recording and on-demand replay, something which is completely open at IPP due to the unions, because anybody who's sitting in a room where a session is recorded has to be asked prior to the session. So that's something which will become a major problem if meeting recordings will get regular. It's just for enough for the moment. But the tools are there, and I will talk about it. Then we need some dedicated MCU power or facilities for Fusion. It has not to be necessarily a Fusion-owned or after-owned MCU like it is now. We have one from DFN. We have one in from NIFS, and we will get one at IPP maybe. Then presentation and desktop sharing is still not completely open, as VNC changes in the background, even if F.TV seems to be, to me at least, very stable and robust. On the background, if you change the VNC dialect, I call it, we had this from tight VNC to ultra VNC, you run into problems with it. Administrator rights and so on. Then we have a couple of firewall aspects. All of us are sometimes really blocked. It's all under one name, which is Cisco. I have to say that. And then there will be a few points about the future and, of course, a discussion. It takes that long to switch?
It takes long.
Okay, so this is what we have, or what we had at the end of last year, beginning of this year. It's just my usual map I'm showing all the time. All the blue flags are after associates. All the green ones means that there is a local H323 client up and reachable and more or less regularly used. There are a couple of VRVS islands in there. Okay, they're still there, they will be there, maybe replaced by Evo sometime, but the number of systems we have now is roughly about 50 Polycom, mostly PVX now, some maybe 20-30% are still via videos. We have about 30 Polycom hardware systems, from the old ones to the newest ones. We have about 40 Tandberg systems, several others. I don't know the exact numbers. A lot of AESRA are available, some Sony. We had until now, or until the end of July, we still have 4 RadVision MCUs at DFNVC. We have several MGC MCUs in Hungary. We had a Tandberg MCU for testing, and 2 Codians MCUs are available now. So what about meeting room-based teleconferencing? So the goal was that this should be created at all labs. I think more or less we have done this job. Some islands which have local problems with networks or national problems with networks excluded. But we have all kinds of systems, but most of them are either Polycom set-top systems like VSX 7000. We have a lot of Tandberg 880, the so-called classical model, several 1000 Tandbergs. We have a lot of new MXP systems from Tandberg, and we have several 6000 systems, namely in Karlsruhe, IPP S3, and several others. Most of them, at least the ones with the newest software, are able to use H239 cross-platform. That means including any of the quoted MCUs and including Polycom and Tandberg systems with the newest software, including the small PVX desktop system. Almost all of them are now registered with Global Dialing Scheme gatekeepers. We have gatekeepers at Garching. We have one in Hungary, it is SS1,
I guess.
We have one from Janet. We have one in Jülich. I think that one is working, more or less. We have one in progress in Padua. And we have, or will get one in Cadaraș.
And also in Romania is planned.
And in Romania, okay. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there should be dots and et cetera and so on.
Concert.
It's only the mouse maker. So I show you now two or three examples of really new video conferencing rooms. Most of them are already prepared for high definition, that means 16:9 video. This one is a new one from a partner institute of IPP in the Helmholtz Society. And of course, they are showing. And okay, so I was just talking about software codecs for desktop solutions. And you see some of them. My favorite is PVX, which is by far the most used. If you have a VCON viewpoint, you can use it. If you are forced to use Linux, GNUME Meeting now is working stable. It has a not sufficient video quality. So some people will ask you, why don't you use web conferencing instead? But it's working and it's free. The same is true for OH phone for Macintosh. They are working as well. And for both systems, there are follow-ups, which should be available over this year. And they promise they should be much better than the other ones. So that's what I mean by release of X meeting, which is a follow-up for GNUME meeting. Okay, MCU for Fusion, that's a short one. We have two possibilities. We can use the MCUs from the DFN video conferencing service or the one from NIF. Sorry for this additional S. I've been working for NIFS, which is a Japanese institute, too long, so I just mixed them up. Two I's from NIF and one S from Japan. On both MCUs, we will provide and do provide fixed conference IDs which can be used for EFTA meetings. And I don't think it's worthwhile to think about an EFTA-owned special MCU now. Next one is meeting recording on demand and on-demand replay. So the goal is development of a tool to record entire teleconferences, video, audio, and slides, and make them available for on-demand replay. Could be a complement or replacement of audio broadcast. This sentence I never understood. Recording with Codeon has been tested a year ago at IPP, has been tested at NIF. And the problem there is if you want to record after TV or VNC streams, you have to have a Codeon VCR, a Codeon MCU, because there you can feed in VNC signals, streams, and then record them together. So if you have some time tomorrow, today, we could play back just one example from you or one from Germany. Again, this is a more political question and a question of how often it will be used or it is useful. We don't have these regular meetings, maybe Carl with his Monday meeting at Aztec's Upgrade is one of the possible interessants, but I don't think so. They have a good protocol from every session, and so there's no need of recording the session. Okay, but it's there, it can be used, you can play with it, and that's it. Okay, so here are some web addresses. That's the technical details of the video conferencing recorder from Codeon. It's very interesting. Okay, presentation and desktop sharing. So we have a couple of current tools. Piroshka named them already and left out H239, which is a little bit of my
present
favorite.
We don't use.
Yeah, and maybe I skipped the other ones because we are using one. And just say four statements about H239. It's now available and compatible on and between all major vendors, especially Polycom Setup and Room Systems and the PVX software, between Tandberg's classical systems like that one with the newest software or one of the newer software releases, and all the new MXP system. There are some restrictions. One is a minor one, which is that the transmitted signal is restricted to XGA resolution, the one we are using here with FTTV as well. But the major restriction is that to be happy about H239, you really need a high network quality. So a packet loss of 0.3%, you won't notice on the video conferences itself. But if you look at an H239 stream, you see immediately a pumping effect, and so you won't use it for that. So you need a high network quality. If you have it, then you can use it. And between Garching and Greifswald, it's about 50% of the sessions are using H239, and the other 50% are using VNC. It's just depending on several questions like, is there a video embedded in the presentation? Then VNC breaks, but H239 at least gives 5 to 8 frames per second on the other side. Just a mail I found during my vacation. There has been obviously a severe VNC attack. So who's interested should read it in detail and ask Andrew Davil. I never heard of him, but he sent this mail to the Megacon list, to Internet 2, to the Access Grid list. So there must be something severe with it. So just keep it in mind. It's not that sure as it should be. So now we're coming to the firewall section. And probably Paolo will take over for a couple of minutes. Just to give you an overview, we have severe problems in between Cisco firewalls and any kind of gatekeeper or H323 traffic, and especially the combination of a very simple, straightforward, robust new gatekeeper and new proxy solution together with the Cisco PIX firewall is, from my point of view, intolerable. So it's a question where we have to make pressure on Cisco, and they are not really interested on this problem. They just force, especially people in institutes where the gatekeeper and the firewall stuff is outsourced, they force them into new software releases without taking care of whether this has been tested for H323 or not. Another solution, if somebody has money and doesn't want a handmade, a solution like the new gatekeeper, that you can buy a Thunberg border controller, which is almost the new gatekeeper proxy architecture. And of course, our system is working pretty stable in the moment. And just to give you an idea, the last startup of our gatekeeper and proxy was last year in April. So today or yesterday, we have about 420 days of operation of this gatekeeper. No shutdown, nothing. It just worked. And we have in the moment about 200 clients in the phone book of the gatekeeper. And we have regularly, like now, about 30 to 50 people which are actually registered. So that means about half of the 200 clients are desktop systems which are only registered when they are used. Okay, we have over the year of 2005, 20,000 calls per year, about 6,400 hours per year of conference, and we have about 3 terabytes through the gatekeeper proxy, which is quite a lot. And you see the distribution of the amount of hours per year is we have about 15 systems, which use more than 300 hours per year, and the rest one is spread over a large number of smaller users. Okay, so now I think Paolo should take over.
We can do, here is in the program. I would show one slide for the about the MCU, and then we had other topics.
Okay, I go on. Okay.
Okay. Or mm-hmm. if you think that is necessary, that.
Yeah. So I just could finish this one and then
the
other one. Okay. Yeah. So, but I have to go to the previous one. So we will have a practical presentation of Java, I think. Of course, there are alternatives, instant messaging, web conferencing, and so on, tools I will talk about in the future sections. Then there will be a talk about interview and teleconferencing. There will be in the future section, you are already there, I did talk about MCUs already.
No.
Yes.
You talked about, okay. But yeah. I wanted to show some practical side, but it's not...
You, okay. Then I'm
okay.
So this is future now, and I'm done for the moment.
Okay.
Any question about room, desktop, H239... So either nobody's using it or you're all happy with it?
I was wondering about this thing about the handbook policy requirement. I realized that H239 was. I just thought about your statement about the high network quality requirement of H239. Did I understand correctly? 0.3% is putting it in problems.
Yeah, 0.3% is the lower limit or 0.5 where we are getting worried about normal video conferencing. So we want no packet loss at all. And if you want to have a proper H239 stream, you have to be below that. That's a real severe restriction. So if you have a bad network, use VNC. Just wait until the slide pops up. But if you have a good connection, then H239 is a real nice alternative.
You're saying, if you understand correctly, H239 is more replacing demanding than the HCPC bandwidth.
No, not from the bandwidth problem. There's no bandwidth problem. You can use H239 with 256 or 512 kilobits as well. But you shouldn't have packet losses.
Which in the other case, you can tolerate because having the audio and the video is not upsetting
But the engagement event is upset by actually using pictures of conversation. Yeah. And that means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Roska?
Yes?
Roska, could I just say something as well? Just for Uli's benefit, you should know that we now have our own gatekeeper as well. Steve Cooper has set it up, so we're using the GNU gatekeeper, and that's working very well. We're using that through our firewall as a proxy for all our outgoing 8.3.2.3 connections. We're also using the PVX now, which is very good. We find that very good for desktop conferencing. The only thing I'd go back to was your comment about MCUs, and we don't need an EFTA MCU. I still think that we have problems with using the two MCUs that are currently available. Every time we try and use them, we find problems. We might set something up, and it all works fine, and then we go back to it in a month's time, and something's changed, and we have to go and investigate again to see what the problem is. Whereas I think if we had a centrally owned and EFTA-based MCU where we had full control, it would be much better for us.
Hmm. So let me see. I'm not quite sure whether I understood all this correctly. So you have a question about using PVX with firewalls?
No. Okay. I'm just stating that we are using it.
Yeah. So with PVX, we are using, we are running the same policy with other systems as well. We register the IP address of the PC where the PVX is running on our gatekeeper. And we are doing this for a large number of external systems. They only have to open a point-to-point IP connection through their firewall between the IP address of the local PC where the PVX is running and the IP address of our gatekeeper. And we never heard about... Yeah?
Sorry. I wasn't questioning the use of PVX. It was a statement. I was saying that we, just for your information, we are using PVX and we're happy with it. That was my statement.
But did anybody understand this question? Okay. So the next one is about MCUs. You're having troubles with MCUs.
Yes, it was just my statement was simply that we do still find that we have problems using either the DFN or the NIF MCU. What we find is we set it up and we find that it works. And then maybe after a week or a month, we go back to try and use it, and we find that it's not working and something has changed, and we have to go back and investigate again and get the people from NIF involved to try and sort out what the problem is. And this has happened several times. So I think the idea of having an EFTA-based MCU is actually quite a good idea, rather than relying on these non-EFTA MCUs.
Mm. I agree, but to run an EFTA-owned MCU, we need a place where it has to be located. It has to be operated, it has to be maintained, some service has to be there, some people have to maintain it, and we don't have the people. So that's an open point for the discussion later on. If we don't have manpower for such services, I don't think it makes much sense to buy an EFTA MCU. Who should run it? NIF or Garching or you?
I don't know. That's a question for the...
some slides on that.